the wings of the cherubim, I'll worship you. Can we just sing, I worship you, Almighty God, in the key of F? I worship you, Almighty God, for there is none like you. Oh, let's just give him our praise some more. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. Oh, there is none like you. There's no God like our God, saints. Oh, for no one else can touch my heart like you do. And I could search for all eternity long and find there is none. And I could search for all eternity. For I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Amen. Isn't it true? Let's just bow our heads this evening. Lord, you are great. Lord, there's no God like our God. The Lord reigns. We remember you, Lord, your works of old, Lord, from the beginning of time till now, Lord, and to what you are doing in this moment, Lord. We thank you and we come with eagerness and expectation, Father, because there's no one like our God, Lord. That means tonight there is no one like our God in this service. There's pagans all over the world, witchcraft and coven worship services, and they don't have a God like our God. And they won't have a service like our service, because they don't have the great and mighty one, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with them tonight. But we do, Lord. And we're thankful, Father, Lord, that the time is now, Father. Lord, be glorified. Lord, show yourself mighty tonight in our lives. Lord, teach us your ways, O Lord, that we may walk in your truth, Lord, that you may blow out our imaginations, our reasonings, our conscience, everything, Lord, that's, Lord, unclean in us, Lord. Wash us, cleanse us, Father, by your word, Lord, by your spirit, Lord. May we become, Lord, that very image of Christ, Lord, we pray. We commit each need tonight, Lord, into your hands, Lord. May no one go away, Lord, without receiving, Father, from that which you already want to give them. Lord, may we receive it, Lord. May we be aware of what you have for us tonight, we pray. We thank you now and commit the service in your hands. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Praise God. While you're standing, and if you would, the rest of you would stand, we'll just go right into the Word tonight because there's so much tonight. And I know it's Wednesday night, but we're believers with the quickening power of God in us. And so we're going to go right to Philippians. I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love you. I'm so thankful for each one of you. And thinking about you all day today and to see what the Lord has for us. And we're going to go to chapter 4 and verse 8. And I want to entitle this, Think on These Things. This is what I've been hearing from the Lord over and over again as I've been trying to come and preach for the last two Wednesday nights. So I apologize that that didn't work out, but this has been on my heart the whole time. And it's just a wonderful thing. And we're going to go right to verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's just bow our heads one more time. Heavenly Father, quicken your word to your children. This is alive. Make it more alive in our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I love that it's verse 8, and there's 8 things in the verse. And we know that 7 is completion, and then 8 is new beginnings. So there's something. Who wants a new beginning tonight? Every time we come to church, we can have a new beginning. It's not, well, we finally arrived. We don't need anything else. There's something new for us, a new beginning tonight. I love just breaking this down a little bit. That word finally means furthermore, from now on, even though it also means, at last. Let's hear this. But it is finally and from now on. So tonight, we can think about this. I think we don't hold ourselves to this standard, especially in this world, because I was hearing something that I'd never heard before, Brother Don, is we get so... I remember when Brother Don was doing marriage counseling with us and saying how the norms of our families are going to be imprinted on us and coming into our marriage, and we're going to bring those maybe conflicting norms, maybe they're agreeing norms from our childhood. But I was thinking about this, is that we have norms of this world that feel and suppress us as saying this is normal. And so we all know the world's condition is think on bad news. This is our reality. This is just the way the world works, son, daughter. This is what we have to deal with. It's the world we live in. But we know we live in a different world, right? And yes, there has to be some practicality. We have to go to work in the morning. We have to provide for our families. We have to provide for our children. We have to do those things. But yet, we have a different reality. And this is such an interesting reality. And if we can break down some things, we're just going to dive into thinking a little bit. And I tend to overthink things. So this is dangerous ground. If we're talking about thinking in itself. And I knew that, and sometimes, and I still get tempted to do it, is that when I'm back in the study, I can sometimes start to overthink it, and by the time I get up here, all I have is left is just some mumbling over my words. So I don't want to do that tonight, because a big part of this in verse 8 is, be still and know that I am God. Because we know that word still means to let it sink in. It's not just continue to think until you get there. It's think and then Selah. Those moments of just rest. And I was thinking about how we read between the lines when we let it sink in. Like Brother Don says about when we roll it over at our tongues, what do they say? These are the notes that you're going to taste. Instead of the flavors, they'll say the notes. In the scripture, there's some notes between the lines. And so we're listening and letting those things sink in, because it's a relationship. And we can't undermine this, because we could all say, okay, I'll only think these thoughts all the time. And how many Pharisees did that? And yet they missed the Lord. Like Brother Don was saying on Sunday, is that they had the word without the name, without the character, without the presence, without the life. So we could think on the word, but without having that relationship, without having that spirit coming and speaking to us between the lines, we would miss the whole talk tonight of why do we think on these things. Praise God. We're going to back up to what Brother Jason DeMars is preaching on, verse 6, how it says, be anxious for nothing, or careful for nothing. We know that word means anxious and how we can get in a tizzy in our minds by thinking and overthinking, like I was saying, and we can get in anxiety so easily. Why? Because Satan's just trying to put us on a merry-go-round with our thoughts to get us away from verse 8, to away from that new beginning and that perfection that God has for us. But in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Why do we have requests? Because we have anxiety that tries to come in, because we have something that needs to be done. I will say, I've discovered in my life, anxiety is what happens when something is presented to me and I don't know what to do about it. So, say, there's been times before, I remember one time I was cashiering at Costco, and that's the most involved thing I can think of, because you only have 60 seconds. I know Hannah and Micah and those that have cashiered before can understand this. You have all these things going on in your brain, you're juggling, and then you're thinking about everything. You've got to make sure not to have your drawer be off, and you got to make sure to give the right total to the person, and everything is going on. Your brain is being fully into full capacity, and then the devil will come in and say, "Stephen, when are you going to preach? You know, you're up to preach tonight," or things like that, or "What are you going to do about this as a husband or as a father?" And the Lord just gave me something right there, and this is in that verse 6, is that the wisdom of God is to say, "I'm a provider right now. I'm not a preacher right now." You know, for you housewives, you know how many times you have to focus on just taking care of the kids, and it's going to be, "Oh, how can you be a good wife?" But you're not a wife at that moment. You're a mother. And so Satan is trying to pull us and push us and pinball machine us into anxiety to try to get us to focus on that which is we are the role that we are not in, to just pull us around and to try to get us all upset. But to be able to not be anxious. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God. The first mention of think in the scripture is, in Hebrew, is that same word, zakar, for man. And I thought that was wonderful, because man, as we learned in church recently, is that the word for man means remembrance. And the word for man also means to think. It's the same word. It's to remember, to recall, to call to mind, to be brought to remembrance, be remembered, be thought of, be brought to mind, to mention. And I think this is good too, because as an overview, the things that we think about, like we've been talking about, are the things that we mention. So, praise God, I actually have a testimony where I was thinking the right thoughts. As one day, I'll give the testimony of where I wasn't thinking the right thoughts. I remember it was the last day. I didn't know I was going to be laid off at a company many years ago. And, thankfully, and someone said, "Hey, how's your day going, Stephen?" And the Lord, what was in my heart was the Lord. And what came out was blah, 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 blah. Just, they're saying, "What's new with you today?" "Oh, we're getting a new couch," and blah, blah, blah. And that's the last time I saw that lady at my work. And I was so grieved, because I had the Lord was ready to come out for that lady. And it was just so impressed upon me to say something like, "The Lord is so good. I was just reading a scripture this morning," and such, of what was really in my heart. But instead, I just stuffed that and just talked about nonsense. And it really grieved me. And whereas we were, so one Sunday night, we were watching The Chosen, and it was just such a wonderful episode. And I was thinking about it Saturday, or the next day, and at Costco, I'm in receiving, and the Kemp's milk guy comes in, brings his load. I unload it for him, and he says, "How's your day going, Stephen? Like, what's new with you? What did you do this weekend?" And immediately that came up in my mind, and I just couldn't help it. And I said, "Oh, have you heard of that series called The Chosen?" And he says, "No, what's that?" And I said, It's about the life of Jesus, but it actually gets into it more deeply, and I was telling him about it. He said, I think I might check that out. And I wrote it down for him, and he said, well, Stephen, this is my last day. I'm retiring today, so I won't be seeing you again. And I thought, oh, thank God. I actually said something to point him to Christ, and the last time I'll ever see him. And I think about this is that there's those times that, you know, because we're thinking about him, because we're making mention of his name, but it has to be down on the inside first to think about it. There's so many times where I could have been doing something the night before and wanted to make mention of some documentary I'd watched on the environment or this or that, and it would have nothing to do with Philippians 4:8. So it's so paramount that we're in that. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, to lift him up, to draw men unto him. So that's in the Hebrew to think. And something about the brain as well is they used to say that the brain was just this computer that it gets impulses and calculates only. But they're realizing that they had it all wrong, that it's more of it's a learning machine. Because a computer by itself can't output. You have to turn it on. You have to do different things with it. But whereas we're always creating new pathways in our brain. We're always reassessing things in a way that's so much more beyond what they can even explain. And what's important about that is that us as Christians, we're not just these computers that, you know, we just put in the program and we just do it, as much as it is that every day things are coming in, hits all over, and our brain is picking up things subconsciously. And we can, without realizing it, be creating new pathways in our brain. And then I remember one time the Lord showed me pride had come in. And I said, how did that come in? You know, I wasn't thinking prideful thoughts that I didn't think of. And I said, Lord, show me when it came in. And it was some Christian song I'd listened to that inadvertently was talking about saying goodbye to self. But the music behind it was prideful. It was very rock. It was kind of rocky, and it was just. And I said, oh, Lord, I don't want to listen to that song again. I can see there's pride all over that song. Even though the words are right, the spirit behind it is wrong. So all these pathways that happen in our brain, new pathways, sometimes we have to just, as the scripture says, take every thought captive. In the Greek, it does actually mean to compute, to think. So when it says think on these things, it means to. And I hope I don't lose you tonight, because there's 11 things here. To take an account of, to be numbered with, is kind of a way to be identified with. So you think about these things, all these things that are true, we're going to write them down, because these are so good, all the 8 things in Philippians 4. So, you know, think on these. So we say think on these. This isn't a suggestion, right? On these. And so what are these? Whatever things are lovely. What else? What's the next? True facts. What was it? Honest. Just, praise God. Even just writing them is just wonderful. Good report. Good news. And then if there are any virtue, praise, right? Praise, there it is. Think on these things. My, what a wonderful thing. And now, when we go and say to reckon, to be numbered with these things, to be identified with these things, to reason by these things, is what it says, to consider and take an account by these things. So this is the framework which we look at the world through, and which we think on. To suppose, to deem, judge, determine, purpose, and decide. And one thing that it said in the margin is that this is one factor by which we determine reality. And that's something that just struck me so much, saints of God. This is our reality. You could say, oh, Stephen, this is pie in the sky stuff. But no, this is our reality. And there's norms in this world. Guys don't think about lovely things. Those are for girls, right? There's certain pure things. Oh, no, not we don't do that anymore, right? Virtue. Well, it's a virtuous woman, not a virtuous man. We don't do those things either, right? But to know that this is our reality. This is by which we judge things. And you know how it is where, I'll just use myself as an example. I've gotten sometimes backslidden and didn't read my Bible or didn't listen to sermons. And then all of a sudden I put on a sermon or I start listening to the Word. And all of a sudden my mind starts getting readjusted. Whereas I was kind of a little bit being absorbed into the thinking of the norms of the day. And, well, you can't say that these days. And yet, this is what's, we're supposed to be honest. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Because we see this in action. And we, and like Dave, like Brother Derek was saying about how that we are one body. This is for all of us. This is where every joint supplieth. We'll just go from verse 1. We're going to go through verse 8. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that you walk worthy of the vocation which wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And we're going to skip down to verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth not walk as the Gentiles walk, in their norms, right? In the vanity of their mind, what they're thinking about. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And remember, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's the reality. That is their reality right there. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But, verse 20, that's for us. Ye have not so learned Christ. If so that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed by the Spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, the new remembrance, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Which is interesting, because then now it goes right to words. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. This is so good for me. I think so many times I get something and I want to share it with somebody. And it could be my own affections. And then I get someone to agree with me and say, yeah, that's a great idea. And I think, what am I doing? I'm influencing somebody. And it could just be me. Without being cleansed, and it could not be truly our reality of true, but just the way the world works. And therefore, now I'm, because what is this all about in Ephesians 4? Edifying, building one another up in what? In love, in everything that Christ is. And so when we're building each other up, what are we using to build each other up? Just being a witness at work, I just say, Lord, please just get rid of my thinking because I know myself. I'm the people pleaser guy, my old person, my old man. Is that guy that just wants to please people. And when I need to be pleasing you to draw them in to you, to speak truth to them. And when I was thinking about putting off the old man, just thinking about Satan wants us to remember the old man, the old Stephen. Oh, you used to love that music. You used to love those movies. You used to love, remember that? Remember, those were the days, right? Those were the, we hear that, and even saying that, we think that's an okay phrase to use. Yeah, those were the days. But we know Paul said, this one thing I do. Forgetting, that's right, Brother David. Forgetting those things which are behind. And stretching forth, pressing onward, focusing, beholding, becoming. No remembrance of that, old person, that old man. I love the power of decision, because he's talking about that. He says, you know, these, just identifying as an Israelite, like Caleb and Joshua, and he says, someone comes along and they say, well, I don't think, he said, kick him out of the way. And you say, what, Brother Branham? But he's saying that we have to put off these, there's people that want to pull us into that old remembrance of that. This is where you, I've heard said that, you know, when God delivers you of something, just wait. Someone's going to show up that one of your old buddies from that thing. The example was used for, it was alcohol. People that give up alcohol, all of a sudden, as soon as they give up alcohol, all of a sudden the old drinking buddy comes along. Why? To get them to remember that old man that they were. And how that we in our life, we kind of have this camaraderie thing going of that. And we can't undermine that. That's not any of these things. It's not a good report. It's what we want to be divorced and buried from. It's our former conversation. We're going to go down to verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that ye may minister grace unto the hearers. And why would he say this? And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Because we know that, Brother Branham, if you look up Dove sitting on a branch, where he kind of steps away from us, the only times he talks about it is when we're not speaking good about each other. Well, we're saying, well, you know, what I heard about this brother. But that's not a good report. And I've been guilty of that. But to say, we got to believe the best for each other. And of course, why? Let all bitterness, usually that's, we speak about each other because of lack of forgiveness. Or wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And instead, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And that's, you know, how Brother Bram talked about that blasting, let the Holy Spirit with that atomic blast out our affections, our reasoning, all of our spirit senses, so that that's the heart tenderizer, is that Holy Spirit. And thinking on these things, that's the heart tenderizer right there, to be tender-hearted. Praise God. Never enough time. Praise God. We're seated in heavenly places, so we're in a moment in eternity, so there is no time. Right, Derek? No comment. Praise God. Thank you. I was trying to find the quote. Brother Branham was talking to a woman who was anxious, and she was delivered, and he said, "Now, sister, don't think about that ever again." Why? Because there's a pathway in our brain. It's well trodden down. There's no grass grown over it. It's a well-known path. It's the good old days. It's everything. We have an affection towards it. I remember a sister telling me one time, the Lord told her, stop worshiping your faults. Is we cannot think about that ever again. We need to put that out of our mind. I love the phrase where someone will interrupt a thought and say, well, I don't think. And then you say, that's good. Don't think. We need to not think. We need to let Christ, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 23, you don't have to go there, verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, saith he, but his heart is not with thee. And there's the hypocrisy again. Brother Brennan was talking about this, how we ought to be honest, how we ought to be not Minnesota nice, because Minnesota nice, in the norm of today, is, boy, I don't know if I like that guy. But I'll be Minnesota nice anyways. And that's hypocrisy in some sense, rather than saying, if there's something wrong, I want to like that guy. You know, but something is in my heart that's wrong. That's hypocrisy. That's not being honest. And yet, we're supposed to be in love. So it's not just being honest. Praise God. But we have to be all that Christ is. You know, there's that quote where Brother Brown talks about, we need to be loving, kind, frank, gentle, honest. And then we can move on. So how to not be a hypocrite is to make sure our heart is tender-hearted and speak from our heart. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, put on your Weist helmet. Demolishing reasonings and every haughty mental elevation which lifts itself up against the experiential knowledge which we believers have of God, and leading captive every thought into the obedience to the Christ, and being in readiness to discipline every careless, apathetic hearing of and obedience to the word, when your obedience shall be fulfilled. You are in the habit of looking at external experience, or external appearance. So we need to be looking to what is true. We need to be casting down imaginations. Why? Because that's where Satan gets us. It's all in the what if, as the Beatles song says, or imagine, right? Isn't it amazing? It's so right there, imagine. And yet we cast down all imaginations. Why? Because they lead us on a path of unrighteousness. And yet God can use our imagination for his glory when we have it in his control. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. So much good verses. And now that we have a lens of what we're looking for, and we're men and women of remembrance, we can dive in. My son, forget not my law. Remember my law. Let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And this is so important because we're going to body spiritually, but this is body naturally. That how they say bitterness is can cause and anger and different things can cause cancer, and how that we need to forgive, and because bitterness can't digest the word, as we heard in the sermon on the wings of a snow white dove, I believe it was. Whereas if we have that bitterness in our spiritual stomach, we can't digest the word. So if we're, these are the spiritual amino acids, Sister Mary, of our stomach, to digest the word, that we look and to assimilate what the scripture means. Praise God. It can be health to thy navel. I have something on the back burner talking about kidneys, believe it or not. And I love that Brother Derek preached on, was it the liver? And how that there's such a wonderful thing that God did of the function of each organ in our body to explain something that's happening in the spiritual also. This is a Wednesday night, so I don't want to just leave you hanging or nor confuse you, but how that each part, spoiler alert, is that in the kidneys, if you look in the scripture and in all the times where Brother Branham had healing, the kidneys also had lots of back pain and also had lots of anxious and anxiety. Those three were all correlated together. So that sometimes Satan wants to give us a punch in our kidneys physically with the biological warfare to get to our spirit, to get to our thoughts. You could say, he's not that elaborate, is he? He's doing anything he can to get us focused away from God's thoughts. And to if it says, it'll be health to thy navel and to thy bones. That's not spiritual. That's natural. Now we know things are a rottenness to your bones. And how a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Why? Because we're singing and making melody to our inner hearts to the Lord. These things are healthy for our bodies. Praise God. And we know that thoughts turn into ways. How that we, when we're set in our thoughts, we're set in our ways. It hurts a Christian speak on this, how that we usually have only, if we think of ourselves in our emotions, we usually have only about 5 or 6 emotions. That we're, maybe we're really loud and happy, or maybe we're really moody and sad. Or maybe we're sometimes just stewing and upset. Or maybe we're just kind of silly and giddy. How we usually have only 5 or 6. And I love what this man said. He says, we can ask ourselves at any time, whatever circumstance we're in, is this emotion serving me? Because usually emotions come from that reasoning, that calculation in our mind. If this means that means this means that, then this is fine. It's fine. Or it's not fine. You see people, especially at my work, because you're in such a situation of tons of members and this and that going on, and or someone will be stocking a pallet, Sophie, and they'll push in a whole pallet of snacks, and you'll hear the whole back go, because they'd bump something and the whole back fell out, and now they have to like slide it out, which is going to make more fall over, and they have to go back in the back and restack the whole pallet. I've seen just yesterday a manager from both sides. The whole back knocked out on that side of the aisle, and this came forward on this side of the aisle. Now, if this is an example of emotion, right? Some people could just say, my life. And they go into, why do I work here? Why do I work here? I could be at a desk job somewhere, not having to do this dumb work. Why? Because they're in that emotion of what it is. And what I've learned, the Lord has shown me over the time is, like the scripture says, count it all joy. Just I've learned in those situations where I just laugh. I think it's funny. And I just sit there and I laugh at it because I say, oh, gravity. And I'll even tell new people because you can just see their faces just so, I had to get up at 4 in the morning, and now I'm trying to work, and everything's falling apart. They just go down. And I say, it's either laugh or cry. You might as well be laughing. And so when these five or six emotions happen in our life, we're really set in those. In our house, we have those cozy corners of our emotions. But we need to be able to, just like the Holy Spirit can blast out our spirit senses, we can blast out those emotions and say, when I'm anxious and nervous and angry, that's not a good emotion. That's not serving me. Lord, clean that out of me. I don't want to live in that room of emotion in my house. And to be able to say, Lord, would you put the joy of the Lord for my strength in that moment? Would you give me something? Would you give me a song on my heart in that moment? The devil knows how that punch that he has coming for me is music. I've told this story before where at work, I'm just trying to work, and you know me, I'm always singing or talking. And I was walking to the back to do my trash, and I was hearing, just really oppressive music, and I can see Philip working out back there, because he has this at work too. And just, and I just started singing, I serve a risen Savior, He's in this world today. I know that He is leading, whatever men may say. It was so appropriate. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And every time I need Him, He's always near. And every time I think about it, His Spirit came rushing down so hard. The presence of the Lord was so strong. And I feel it now. He inhabits the praise of His people. Amen. And His praise is there. It's a benefit. It's not just a thought process. It's where He comes down in our praise. It brings presence right there. We see that presence. And we could go on and on. How many times that what we sing brings His presence. Praise God. I'm just going to read a quote, and we're going to wrap it up here in a minute. This is from God Using His Gift. You know, when you think about God, when you keep your mind, when you sit in church and think about everybody else but God, how you're going to do your washing and how you're going to do at the office tomorrow, how are you going to do this, do that, or the other? Keep your mind off of that and think on God. The Bible says, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. Wonder if I'll be called in the prayer line. Wonder if God will speak. Don't think that kind of negative thought. Don't let it go through your mind. Make every word positive and every thought positive. You know, the disciples, after resurrection of Jesus, Cleopas and his friend were on the road down to Emmaus, and as he went around talking about Jesus, thinking about Jesus, he stepped right out of the bushes and walked with them. While they were thinking on, while they were meditating, that's the same way Jesus does today, in my heart, in my mind, all day long. Let me walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, with the heavenly dove. Let me have fellowship all the day long. I think that's a good place to end it. There's so much more. I'll just say, make sure to have your double-barrel shotgun. The New Testament, the Old Testament. When Satan comes, it is written. I don't know if I've told this story before, but musicians, you can come. I was having a hard day. I was 31 years old. I had started over at Costco pushing carts. And the visual, my horizon was dark at night, a little bit of snow on the ground, just pushing carts alone outside. And I had heard when I was praying at a piano bench before tuning it, what I heard, go back to Honduras. This is back in 2014. And I just heard the devil come along and say, what about that mission he wants you on? What about your family? Look at you're just starting over. You're just pushing carts. Look at you. And all of a sudden that scripture just came to my mind. Faithful is he who has called me. He also will do it. And I know that was the Lord giving me that. And that scripture came out. Well, someone picked me up that night that was just in town, out of state. And I said, oh, I didn't realize you were picking me up tonight. And, oh, I phoned when you got off. Hey, how's that burden for Honduras? I said, oh, I started telling him how I felt called to go back. And he said, well, good, I wanted to give you this. And he gave me a tin with $10,000 in it to go back to Honduras. And it was in that moment I thought, this is our reality. Just keeping our mind focused on the Lord for when those times come where it's so hard, we can just, it is written. It is written. And it brings his presence. It enlightens our eyes. Instead of cursing, it's a blessing. Praise God. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Can we just sing, Once It Was a Blessing? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us to be people of remembrance. How you said to Job, where were you before the world was formed? When the sons of God sang for joy, Lord, he brought to remembrance, Lord. Lord, and how many times, Lord, have I gotten myself down, Lord? And yet, Lord, if we could just take our eyes off this world and the norms that so try to create pathways in our brains, Lord, help us to think on these things, Lord. I can just hear your heart, Lord, saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. Come up higher, little bride. Come up on another level, above those things. Don't be stuck in all that. Don't be anxious. Don't take those thoughts in that are heavy burdens to carry on in the upward way. Be light. Put blessings in there. Put pure thoughts in there. Lord, help us, oh God, to take this, Lord, and from now on, Lord, finally, this moment forward, to think of these things that are good news, Lord, that your news, Lord, we pray. Lord, we commit each one here tonight, Father. Lord, there's people, Lord, all over the world that are so burdened down by thoughts that put them in bondage. Bondage to things that are just imaginary. Lord, if anyone here is struggling with that, Father, may they know that they're free tonight, Lord, because you've already set them free. They don't have to carry that anymore. Whether it's guilt from something that you've already put under the blood, Lord, whether it's harboring bitterness, Lord. Lord, merry-go-rounds of anger, of resentment, of just indifference towards someone that has made them downcast. They don't have to think that way anymore. We can be free to never think of that again. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, and invite each one here, including myself, to make a commitment. I'm not going to think that way anymore. Would you commit each one here tonight? Commit I want to think on the things of the Lord. I want to think on honest things, Lord, pure things, lovely, good report. I want to cast all the others down. I don't want to think that anymore. It's a command for us. I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't think those thoughts anymore. Those negative thoughts. We're living in an age where it's a normal to be praised for being negative. And yet, Lord, we have something, Lord, that's so righteous, so pure, so wonderful, so holy, Lord. We need to put on the mind of Christ tonight, Lord. We receive it from you now, we pray. We get to commit each one into your hands in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Does anyone know that number for Once It Was a Blessing? 78 in the handout. Amen. Praise God. Once it was. Can we all stand tonight? Let's see. Now it is the Lord. Once it was a feeling. Now it is His word. All the way we are wanting. Now the giver only. Once I sought for healing. Now Himself alone. All in all. Clear tonight? Can we just bow our heads one more time? Heavenly Father, just so pulled, Lord. Someone might need a breakthrough tonight, Lord. And If there's anyone that needs prayer, we're here to pray with you. Scripture says, don't be hasty to go out of his presence and to tarry one for another. If there's anyone that needs prayer, something they've been battling for years and they just want to give it up. The thought process that just can't get away from them. No matter how hard they try not to think about it, it keeps them awake at night. Whatever it may be, the Lord is here to set you free tonight. You can be free indeed. Now, Heavenly Father, we just commit each one here this evening, Lord, knowing you're calling us, Lord, to a higher plane. We thank you, Father, now. We just commit each one here this evening. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. We can just sing that last verse. Once I hoped in Jesus, now I know he's mine. Once my lamps were dying, now they brightly shine. Once for death I waited, now his coming hail, and my hopes are anchored, safe within the veil. All in all forever, only Christ I see. David, would you just close in a word of prayer this evening?
We were driving along the other day, and I was not in the fast lane. I was in one of the right lanes, and a guy cut me off, and I had to brake a little bit, and I was in Laura's little car, and I said, if I just had a big truck and a plow, I could just run this guy in the ditch. And Lily goes, Daddy, is that lovely? Is that pure? Is that righteous? I said, no, sorry, Lord. let's thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day. And we ask your grace just to take one more step with you. Thank you for these words of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God be with you. You're dismissed.